Children forget their ancestry, their communities, parents, families, and leave behind their culture and heritage. It was to destroy any hope of future generations carrying forward the culture and traditions of their forefathers. This is just another way of killing the natives. It is cultural genocide. And in addition to the cultural genocide, we of course have the actual genocide itself, also in the schools. These thousands and thousands of children who were discarded as if they're not even human beings. This is absolutely shameful. The killing, the starvation, the disease brought to the natives by the European colonizers is again not an isolated incident or some accident. It is the very nature of colonialism. The native population has to suffer so that the colonizer can profit. This has always been the case, whether in the past or now or in the future. These atrocities at these residential schools were allowed to happen. They were allowed to continue because school administrators, teachers, government officials, the entire chain of command allowed it to happen. They didn't care. And it is said that 60% of these schools were run by the Catholic Church. But there is nothing Christian about any of this. And to say that these schools were meant to civilize the natives, there is nothing civilized about these schools. This is barbaric. This is the real face, the true nature of colonialism. The natives of North America, of South America, Central America have been erased. In Canada and the United States, they have been completely removed from their cultural and political and economic spheres, right on their own land. And while conservatives speak of making America great again, and liberals speak of diversity, whose America is this really? And where is the diversity when the very natives of these lands are killed and erased? The theft of land, colonization, war, disease, plundering. This is what the European settlers brought with them. They committed genocide against millions of Native Americans. Natives have absolutely no representation politically, culturally, economically. Their voice is practically unheard. And the residential schools, they are an extension of that. Cultural genocide, making sure that all these children were cut off from their families, their language, their culture. And even then, thousands were left to die and buried secretly in unmarked graves. This speaks to the absolute cruelty and inhumanity of settler colonialism. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
As COVID sweeps across America with a fourth wave, this time hitting the red states and counties hardest, medical bankruptcies are starting to explode, says Tom Hartman, writer, in an article published under the heading, Nearly 1 in 5 Americans are in collections for medical debt. Stay tuned for more. That no-benefit equation goes double for the latest parasites who have attached themselves to the backs of Americans and are rapidly draining people's economic blood, health insurance companies. There is quite literally no reason for these corporations to exist, at least when it comes to providing for the health needs of 99% of Americans. Virtually every other developed country in the world has a universal healthcare system to provide for the needs of all their citizens. Severe parasite infections can inhibit a host's ability to respond to the disease, and that's just what's happening to America right now as Americans have faced and continue to face the COVID pandemic. More than half of all Americans who have become infected with COVID and survived are now struggling with medical debt as a result of their illness, according to a new study by the Commonwealth Fund. Even people who didn't get COVID are being wiped out by medical debt. Imagine one out of every five of them, from the very old to the newborns, having already had their medical debt turned over to another parasite American industry, debt collectors. One in five Americans today are in collection for medical debt, getting harassing phone calls day and night, having their checking accounts garnished, their credit and ability to get a new job ruined for years or decades. One in every five people in America and every one of their lives has been turned upside down because they or their child got sick. Americans are the only developed country in the world that does this to its citizens, and the only reason we do it, it is so people like Bill McGuire, the former CEO of United Health, can walk away with literally $1 billion. Meanwhile, the University of Chicago finds that 8 million Americans have started a crowdfunding page to raise money to cover their own medical bills, and an additional 12 million pages have been started by others trying to pay bills of friends, relatives, children, or grandparents who aren't computer literate. One-third of all GoFundMe and similar sites are people trying to raise money to pay for medical bills not covered by insurance companies. The University of New York and Harvard study found that the number one case of bankruptcy in America is medical debt. It averages over 500,000 families wiped out this way every year. As Michael Hiltzik writes for the Los Angeles Times, it's also virtually unique to the U.S. among developed countries. When experts from Japan and Europe are asked by the PBS program Frontline about the prevalence of medical bankruptcy in their countries, some had trouble even comprehending the question. Poll after poll shows that a solid majority, 60 to 80%, depending on how the question is phrased, want America's legislators to put a national healthcare system in place or give people an easy and inexpensive option to buy into our biggest single payer system, Medicare. The Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid coverage to all low-income Americans, until five conservative justices on the Supreme Court changed the law to let individual states decide if their citizens deserved it. 12 states today deny Medicaid to many or most of their low-income working citizens, even though the federal government pays for almost all of it. Every single one's legislature is run entirely by Republicans. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. That's no coincidence. The GOP has been the party of billionaires and predatory corporations ever since Warren Harding's election in 1920, when it turned its back on the Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard and purged the party of its progressives. They then spent the past four decades stacking the federal court system and the Supreme Court with partisan hacks and other things to big money and big businesses so they could continue their bloody business of extracting cash from working people and shoveling it into the money bins of morbidly rich. But it's not just low-income people who are being sucked dry by the medical industry in the U.S. The study by Commonwealth Fund found that fully a third of insured Americans under 65 had difficulties paying off medical debt last year. The same was true for half of uninsured Americans under 65 just in the past year. Insurance premiums make up 24% of gross U.S. payroll, while a Canadian-style nonprofit Medicare for All system would cost between 10 and 14% depending on how it was implemented. And every effort Democrats make to deal with the problem, including their most recent infrastructure bill that would cut drug prices and expand Medicaid to those 12 states that have refused to do so themselves, faces 100% rigid opposition from bought and paid for elected Republicans. Meanwhile, the healthcare industry has funded literally hundreds of websites and advocacy organizations that have flooded the internet with lies and misinformation about how healthcare is done around the world or the horrors of single payer. As COVID sweeps across America with a fourth wave, this time hitting the red states and counties hardest, because their unvaccinated citizens have been listening to Republican politicians and watching Fox News, medical bankruptcies are starting to explode.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, relationship with Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Muslims are supposed to feel connected to Allah and experience His closeness more than anyone else in His creation. After all, no one is more privileged and honored than Him, who is required to stand before His Creator in prayers and pray 5 times a day. Allah desires for us to have a relationship with Him and be close to Him, and to make it easy for us to have that relationship. He provided us with direction we need. He gave us a plan. And what is that grand plan? What is that master plan? We'll talk about it. And while we try our best to strengthen our relationship with Allah, many of us may find it hard to maintain or enjoy this bond with the Lord of the worlds. Many of us find ourselves hurting the relationship or cannot even feel it existed anymore. So what could be the reason for not feeling close to Allah? And what can we do about them? You know, there could be multiple reasons why we don't feel connected to Allah, why we don't feel that proximity and that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the reasons that we would like to think about and ponder if we are suffering from this ailment. Otherwise, we are destined, we are designed, we are cut out, and Allah has desired for us to be able to connect to Him and feel that connection, feel that proximity, feel that closeness. So why is it that some of us don't feel that? Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are talking about relationship with Allah, and we said that He has desired and He has designed things in a way that we feel that proximity and closeness to Him. Now, why is it that some of us don't feel that? Well, one of these ways to find out or to rectify this issue of us not feeling that closeness to Allah is to contemplate and understand what our Creator says about having a relationship with Him. Much of the troubles we have, as scholars tell us, stem from misunderstanding the nature and requirements of the relationship. But once we appreciate it, all that remains is to struggle with forces within and without ourselves trying to realize it. So, brothers and sisters, contemplation and understanding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at this relationship between Him and us, between Him and His servants, this is a good starting point. Once we get through this first post, that's when things start to fall in place. Let us begin with asking the following question. You know, once we start contemplating, sometimes we go like, what should I contemplate about? What question should I think about? So I'm going to roll out a question for your convenience, which would be a good starting point, hopefully, inshallah, for all of us. That question is, in our relationship with Allah, who is distant? Ask this question. In this relationship, who is distant? And if we do not yet feel Allah's presence in our own hearts, whose fault is it? So with this question, I'm going to leave you to contemplate in this quest of searching proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is a beautiful expression from Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, the 10th infallible successor of the Prophet of Islam, under proper cognizance of God, the unseen but omnipresent. No one can describe God with attributes other than these with which He describes Himself. How can anyone describe Him when senses are too short to perceive Him, illusions are too short to comprehend Him, ideas are too short to mark Him, and sights are too short to appreciate Him? He is remote in His nearness and near in His remoteness. He creates the how without being asked how, and founded the where without being asked where. He is out of how and where. He is the one and only. Exalted be his majesty, and sacred be his name.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
Cockatoos in Sydney suburbs have learned a new way to scavenge for food, opening wheelie bins with their beaks and claws. Australian researchers have found out that the parrot family birds are learning the ability from one another. Moreover, the scientists have discovered that cockatoos in different neighborhoods have distinct styles and approaches to pry open the bins. Although the birds opening bin lids seems to be a simple action, it shows a more complex behavior pattern that proves animals can learn, share, and develop subcultures. In some rural areas, online education during the pandemic seems a challenge, as students do not have access to smartphones. In the Indian state of Jharkhand, teachers have come up with an innovative idea to tackle the problem. Turning walls of houses into blackboards is the solution. Under this circumstance, students can learn in the open air while maintaining social distancing. Teachers use loudspeakers to manage the classrooms. Parents welcome the idea, as most of them could not afford a smartphone and a fine internet connection. They also built platforms for students to sit on while attending classes. There is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high-altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Aubusson says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But he says his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge. Burpees are one of the gym exercises that many consider it either a funny workout or simply avoid to do. But that's not the case with a Brazilian man who set a new Guinness World Record with 951 burpees in just 1 hour. Cassiano Rodriguez Luriano, a professional mixed martial arts fighter, completed this feat nearly a month ago that was later verified by Guinness record adjudicators. Luriano says he was driven by a promise made to his niece, Rebecca, who was born with a severe heart disease, and the gym set up a fundraising effort for her. Luriano had originally aimed for 1,000 burpees, but fallen short of that mark due to a leg injury he sustained 2 days before the feat.
I'm tired. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would go. I'm in so much pain now on my leg because I got hurt. But I'm very, very happy with the accomplishment and in being able to help my niece. So that's the most important thing.
Luriano has not met his family since moving to Singapore in May 2019. He says the only way he could help them is using his athleticism. The previous world record was held by a Canadian who performed 879 chest-to-ground burpees within the same time limit in March this year. In the U.S., creative designers are trying to raise awareness about the environmental issues in a fun and playful way. A climate change-themed mini golf course has recently opened to public in New York City. It consists of 18 holes, each one featuring an environmental problem or a potential solution like habitat loss, energy inefficiency, and emissions. Designed by local artists, the course is made with recycled materials.
Climate change and the environment are such important topics right now and important issues that faces all of us now and will face us in future generations. So by bringing the environmental issues to the forefront in a fun, playful way like mini golf, it really sparks the conversation and helps folks understand the scope of the issue.
Visitors have welcomed the idea, saying it's both entertaining and educational. Organizers say all of the money made from the golf course will go to two local environmental groups. go to Ukraine to meet the world's oldest tennis player, who has been playing the sport for over half a century. Leonid Stanislavski, now 97 years old, has competed in various world championships. When he was a 30-year-old gymnast, he started training tennis three times a week. The Guinness World Record holder is now practicing for the 2021 Super Seniors World Championship, which will be held in Mallorca, Spain. Stanislavski believes that people can play tennis at any age.
It's an elegant type of sport. It's good physical exercise. It is a beautiful game, and there is one more thing about tennis. You can play tennis no matter what age you are.
The world's oldest tennis player revealed his secret to a long life, a combination of good genes and regular sport. His goal is to live to 100 years old and take on prominent tennis player Roger Federer. The old athlete also wishes to make a parachute jump. The largest museum in the world dedicated to the study of space has made its debut in Shanghai, China. Inspired by the orbits of celestial bodies, the layout of the building has no straight lines or right angles. The museum, designed by New York-based Anid Architects, is intended to create an immersive experience for visitors to engage in a real astronomical phenomenon. For instance, visitors can take a trip into a starry night in the optical planetarium theater.
What we aim to create is a real environment for people to look up to the starry sky. To achieve this goal, we've installed a high-precision planetarium projector at the center of the theater, which can project the sharp spots of stars on the screen with countless optical fibers. The demonstration effects are very vivid.
After moving through the museum's galleries and curved hallways, the final area visitors pass through is the sky space of the Inverted Dome. The viewing area of the Inverted Dome is about reducing almost all separation between people and the stars. The opening follows a five-year construction process in the city's Lingang district.
French artist has created a huge cardboard installation in the shape of the Hanging Bridge. The artwork is 18 meters in length and hovers above Rome's Tiber River with the help of three gigantic helium-filled balloons. Olivier, who created the work, was inspired by famous Italian Renaissance architect and sculptor Michelangelo. The Italian master had been tasked with the constructing a bridge on Tiber to connect the gardens of the Villa Farnesina to the Farnese Palace. However, he died before he could complete the venture. Now Michelangelo's mission has been accomplished centuries after his demise by one of his admirers.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Every year, a lot of animals lose their life due to various kinds of accidents, but some of them are lucky enough to get a second chance. Perseus, the Greek cat, is one of them. The stray feline was taken to a vet in the city of Larissa last year after a terrible accident. The vets had to perform three surgeries, but Perseus lost the same number of limbs. However, he managed to stay alive and was given prosthetic legs. Perseus has adapted perfectly to his new limbs and now uses them to get around. He has also managed to snatch the heart of his saviors as visitors at the clinic where he cured have grown. A The Japanese Art Collective has created a mesmerizing environment in a forest where nature and technology come together. In the mountains of Kyushu in southern Japan, the nature comes to life after the dark. Flowers and trees are illuminated in a glowing ripple shine, while rocks turn colorful with light installations. A waterfall made of light pours gently on a bright rock. Some rocks have calligraphy, and artificial pond projects colorful fish too. The artists behind the work say their aim is to unite technology and nature.
The thing is, sometimes people think it's a digital and nature is completely it's against each other. But at the same time, we think it's in a digital and the nature is it's quite easy to get merged.
The Japanese team also wants to raise awareness about the original beauty of the nature, which they say is often ignored. To remind people of that, they hold exhibitions combining projections, sound, and carefully designed spaces. So far, the group has organized several art shows of this kind. Animals have been providing protection and service to people since time immemorial. They have not only been the source of food like meat, butter and milk, but also served humans by eating plants toxic to them. Authorities in New York City have taken 24 goats from a nearby farm to the Riverside Park in Manhattan to munch on invasive weeds. They say it's an environmentally friendly win-win for the species removal at the park. The goats get to feast on overgrown bush, and Riverside Park Conservancy doesn't have to dump harsh chemicals on weeds. Park officials say it's both healthy for the goats and good for the environment.
As part of our woodland restoration initiative, 2 years ago, we unleashed a very hungry group of goats into a stretch of the park that had been overrun with invasive plants. And wow, did they exceed expectations. We called it Gotham because we put the goat in Gotham. They chowed down on Japanese knotweed. They noshed on porcelain berry. They snacked on multiflora rose. They easily traversed the hard-to-reach terrain behind me and gulped down poison ivy without even giving it a second thought. Since goats are naturally effective weed whackers, putting them to work in Gotham is like treating them to an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's healthy for the goats, and it's good for the environment. That's farm to table.
People visiting the goats at the zoo say these animals are emotionally intelligent and connect with people. Goats are an ingenious approach to weed removal, eating species dangerous to humans like poison ivy. Of the 24 goats, 5 will call Riverside Park its home through the end of August. For some others, the public can vote to determine which goats will be crowned the greatest of all time. The winner will be announced by the end of the summer.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaamun Alaikum. This is today's special you're listening to. We're going to speak about Imam Ali alayhi salam, the herald of unity. Today, Sunday, is the 14th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Al-Ma'idah, verse 67.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين.
O Messenger, announce that which has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you do not, then you have not conveyed his message. And Allah will protect you from the people. Indeed, Allah does not guide the disbelieving people.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Truly, what an important subject there existed in the latest month of the Prophet's life, that in the mentioned verse, the lack of its conveyance has been counted equivalent with the lack of messengership wholly. In different books of the scholars of both Sunnis and Shia school of thoughts, there are many authentic traditions recorded to say that the mentioned verse has been revealed at Qadir Hum about the appointment of the successor of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure family, and the future fate of Islam and Muslims.
قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the herald of unity. Unity is the fruit of the mission of the Prophet. Dear friend, Imam Ali knew unity as the fruit of the mission of the Holy Prophet. The Imam alayhi salam described people's conditions before Islam and the great influences of Islam and the mission of the Holy Prophet in a sermon in which he stated, "The people of the earth at this time were divided. Their aims were separate and ways were diverse. They either likened Allah with his creation or twisted his names or turned to else than him. Through Muhammad, Allah guided them out of wrong and with his efforts took them out of ignorance." Imam Ali alayhi salam knew bearing mutual rancor and developing brotherhood affection among Muslims as the fruits of the mission of the Holy Prophet, as he stated in a sermon, "Through him Allah buried mutual rancor and put off the flames of revolt. Through the Messenger of Allah, Allah gave the people affection like brothers
and separated those who were together through unbelief. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astayin. In this episode, we are going to talk about Imam Ali alayhi salam as the exemplary personality of the Islamic unity and integration in the Muslim world. Now we find that the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim community that want to have only one voice, I mean, as the voice of the Islamic unity, everybody can rely and should obey Imam Ali alayhi salam as the topmost personality next to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, we find that the Holy Quran, from time to time, the Holy Quran here and there indicates that the Muslim community should retain the integrity and unity. They should retain the integrity and unity. And at the same time, what's indicated in this regard is that the Holy Quran invites all people in this way. I mean, Muslims are expected to remember and to remind each other the graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that prior to the advent of the Islamic religion, people used to be enemies of each other. However, it was the Islamic religion who established the spirit of fraternity among people. Next to this, we find that on the day of Ghadir Khum, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam was nominated not by, as a decision of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it was the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
This day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين ألا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
Imam Ali's position on division and its roots, disputes and spitefulness. A human being is a social creature and needs others' assistance, and naturally, whenever the interests of people depend on each other, everyone may seek more benefits for himself and conflicts arise. And the only solution for these disputes is establishing national and universal laws and applying them. However, those who have not practiced religious and moral virtues harbor a grudge against others whenever they do not meet their wishes. Imam Ali alayhi salam introduced spitefulness as a cause of divisions and considered it as a sign of impure nature and bad conscience. You are brethren in the religion of Allah. Impure natures and bad conscience have separated you. Consequently, you do not bear burdens of each other, nor advise each other, nor spend on each other, nor love each other.
Alhamdulillahilladhi ja'alana min al-mutamassikin
bi wilayati
Ali ibn Abi Talib
bi wilayati
Ali والأئمة المعصومين عليهم
السلام.
Policy making features in the mannerism of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dear friend, you are listening to today's special by IRIB English Radio. Imam Ali was patient and tolerant in practicing politics. One of the issues of the political behavior of the commander of the faithful, he used to tolerate his opponents and even his enemies as much as possible. Although it is true that he experienced 3 wars during his nearly 5 years rule, he fought in these wars after he showed all kinds of tolerance. The commander of the faithful, alayhi salam, was not a person to draw his sword without showing proper tolerance towards his opponents. At the beginning of his caliphate, a number of people gathered around the commander of the faithful, and they insisted that he deal with some of his opponents. They firmly insisted that he should do this. In response, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, alayhi salam, advised them to be patient.
Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam will remain a human mystery until the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi la basallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He says, Ya Ali, ma arafa Allah illa ana wa ant. O Ali, no one knows God. No one has true ma'rifah of Allah other than me and you. And this is an astonishing hadith, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi doesn't say that me, you, and the anbiya that came before us. The ma'rifah of these two individuals supersedes all others. And if you want to gain a glimpse into the knowledge that Ali ibn Abi Talib has about God, read the first sermon in Nahjul Balagha. The way that the Imam alayhi salam speaks about God, you know, oftentimes you hear about debates between Sunnis and Shias, and the Shias are trying to prove that Ali ibn Abi Talib should have succeeded, or he is the rightful successor of the Prophet, that he's the most knowledgeable. The best evidence is Nahjul Balagha. If you can bring one companion of the Prophet that could describe God in the same way as Ali ibn Abi Talib, we would follow that person. Ya Ali, ma arafa Allah illa ana wa ant. And then the Prophet continues, وَمَا عَرَفَنِي إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ. The Prophet says, even me, no one truly knows me except Allah, the one who created me, and you. These two individuals were inseparable. And this is another reason why we follow Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib knows God better than any of the companions. And Ali ibn Abi Talib knows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi better than anyone else. But then listen to the last part of the hadith. وَمَا عَرَفَكَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَا. And no one knows you, O Ali, except Allah and me. No one truly can appreciate the essence and the greatness of Ali ibn Abi Talib except the Prophet.
Thank you very much for joining us till this part, the end part of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in God Almighty's mercy. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allah Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illa Allah, Allah Rabbi,
Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.